Sessmat Show, broadcasting live from the Skyview Network Studios.
Good Wednesday. Thanks for being with us. We have a busy show today going a lot of different directions. Pedro Gomez will be with us, our weekly segment with the one and only Pedro Gomez. He joins us for yet another full baseball season. And I'm very much looking forward to Pedro at 10:20 today. Last year on the show before the regular season started, Pedro and I picked the number of victories that the Diamondbacks would have during the season. I picked 81. He picked less than that. So you guys can just pound away on me when I go north of 81 this year. I don't tell Pedro what we're going to talk about. We don't rehearse this. I don't send him over questions. So if he's watching right now, he can prep. But I also need to talk to Pedro about the Chase Field dispute, the future of the Diamondbacks downtown versus moving, and some other things around the Diamondbacks. I want to know who, in his opinion, the X factor on the Diamondbacks for this coming season. So Pedro Gomez will be with us. The Diamondbacks with only four games left in spring training. They're out at HoHo Cam today taking on the A's. We'll talk with Pedro Gomez. Jerry Colangelo will join us today at about 10:30. USA Basketball Chairman, Valley Icon, number of topics to talk to Jerry about. We'll have that coming up just after 10:30. And then Cordell Stewart's going to be with us today, the former Pittsburgh Steeler quarterback, NFL analyst. Cordell has a new book out, nicknamed. The name of the book is not Slash. That's his nickname. The name of the book is Truth, the Cordell Stewart Story. And I think that there's a ton of Steeler fans here, and well, I know there is, here in the Valley and across the state that check us out every day. And so we'll talk with Cordell Stewart. Where did he get the nickname Slash? Why is he doing this book now? He has said that he has some side effects that he is feeling from concussions. So obviously that is in the news. We'll visit with him on that front. And we got a bunch of other stuff as well. I watched the USA World Cup qualifier last night, and they should have won 6 or 7-0. So I was not overly impressed. They did what they were supposed to do and what they didn't do over the weekend. And you know, it was nice to see them come away with a good result, a positive result, and it's good for USA soccer. So I watched that last night. Didn't see anything else. There wasn't anything else that really caught my eye. When you see that D'Angelo Russell is trending on Twitter, that's when you know there's not much going on, especially because the Lakers at this point of the season aren't any good, and they just came off a 45-point beatdown blowout. If you've not heard about D'Angelo Russell and what's gone on with him, I feel bad now because I raved about him. Last year when we took the show up to Portland with the U of A for the start of March Madness, and I had a chance to see him for 4 days with Ohio State. Loved him as a player. What a great player. But man, these guys are nitwits. I mean, just, could you imagine? Guys, imagine this, that you're running a business, okay? And you're running a sports franchise. Let's take it a step further, because a lot of you guys would love to run a sports franchise. I know more and more guys, how can I get into sports? I'm an attorney. I make six figures. I hate what I'm doing. I want to be into sports. I could run a franchise, Brad. I know I could run a franchise. How can I be in it? You willing to go chase it? You willing to go work in the minor leagues? You're 50 plus and you want to go be the marketing director of a AA baseball franchise because you think you can make it to the major leagues? Then go for it. And I'm serious about that. It doesn't mean that you can't do it. But understand this. When you get involved in wanting to run a sports franchise, and you see a lot of good guys that are in sports and they get out, and they go into broadcasting, and they go into other business ventures. Because can you imagine the D'Angelo Russell story? If you haven't heard, so D'Angelo Russell, a video surfaced in the last week that shows D'Angelo Russell recording a private conversation between himself and his teammate Nick Young. Nick Young, I've never been a fan of. I'm not a fan of teams getting drilled by 20, 30, 40 and losing. And they have a nickname, Swaggy P. And they want to encourage, like, I am so cool. I have this great nickname and I'm going to do this with my jersey. I'm going to pop after I make a shot, even though we're down by 30. Not into that. Nick Young didn't realize that D'Angelo Russell was taping him. The video came up last week on Twitter. Of course it did. On a celebrity gossip site. Of course it did. Does this have anything to do with how to run a pick and roll? Does this have anything to do about how to get better defensively? No, these are two guys totally breaking a man code here. So the film, it shows D'Angelo Russell filming Nick Young while asking questions about Young being with other women. Young and Australian rapper Iggy Azalea announced their engagement last June. He's engaged. And D'Angelo Russell's asking him about other women that he's been with. They don't know how the video became public. But because this video became public, there's now problems in the Lakers locker room. Well, we knew there were problems in the Lakers locker room when they're getting their heads kicked in and their teeth kicked in. But they lost by 48 to Utah. The worst in Laker history. To take it further, now it's being reported that the Lakers have isolated Kobe Bryant. And this is not like celebrity gossip stuff. These are real reporters that do a good job. Ramona Shelburne is one of the better beat girls in the business. And she's reported that the problems within the locker room are real and that the teammates don't want to be with him. In D'Angelo Russell's case, this story, it's one of those I'm just seeing it this morning, like in last night. So you've got to be kidding me. You've got to be bleeping kidding me. Like, I've heard of players isolating players and problems in the locker room when there's extramarital affairs going on with teammates and wives or girlfriends with other players. I've heard of that stuff through the years in sports. And none of that stuff should make a difference. We watch the games to watch the games. But because it's LA and because there is networks, there are networks that are making really good bank, really good coin off the celebrity stuff. They're just eating this up and it becomes a top trending topic in our country. It becomes a number one story on many, many platforms. And if I don't pay attention to that, then I'm not doing my job to at least bring it up. The Lakers play tonight. They lost by 48 the other night. Why? Well, did you know that within their locker room, they've got an issue? I mean, they've got more than an issue. It's the point now that if I have D'Angelo Russell on my team, I have to look at him in this offseason and say to myself, self, what do we have here? You know, do we have a 19-year-old who just doesn't get it, who acts like a 14-year-old, as Byron Scott said? I mean, imagine that. Your head coach is saying about your first-round pick, he's a 19-year-old who acts like a 14-year-old. And you see Kobe out on the floor and in some interviews where he just wants to kill every guy on that team. He just doesn't want to be a part of them at all. So it's interesting. You know, the Warriors won last night. Tony Parker in San Antonio said that Pop is going to rest the starters in the final two matchups between the Warriors and the Spurs. I can't get enough of the Warriors story. I want to talk to Jerry Colangelo about if Steph Curry played back in the day when there were hand checks, when you could hand check a player, would Steph Curry even be remotely close to the player that he is today? And Jerry's seen that. We'll have that here a little bit later on the show. Let me switch over to the Diamondbacks. So there continues to be an avalanche of notes that I'm getting from people responding to the column that we wrote. We've been talking about this for a long, long time about how the big story out there that nobody wants to address is the Coyotes, where they're going to end up, and the Suns, where they're going to end up. And Ken Kendrick decides to get involved in the Diamondbacks and saying, I've been here. What about our place? And so they put all this together. And we have a story that has been going on for quite some time. Now, I talked to Derek Hall about a month ago about all of the rumors and movement and innuendo around the team. This was earlier with us, about a month ago.
No, you know, there really isn't. We've each year we invest in Chase Field to make sure that it looks as good as it did from day one, and I still think, you know, it looks as good, if not better, today. And on opening day, it'll look better than it ever has. You know, we invest a lot of money in that facility, and I think the reason why there's so much speculation or talk is we have said in the past, everybody has, that the ballpark's too big. When you look at new ballparks today, they're anywhere from 38 to, you know, maybe 43,000 seats, and here we are at 50,000 in this market. Now, on opening day or playoffs or, you know, bobblehead giveaways, it's great. great. You know, you're glad you have that much capacity. But I don't think that there's a solution to that. I'm not one that likes tarping. The other thing that people are focused on is just how long our lease is. And we still have another 12 years on our lease. But you look at what the Braves did. I mean, they were only 2 years older than us at Turner Field, and this is going to be their last year there. So they've built a new ballpark, and they had to ask the question, do we put another $300 million in Turner Field, or does it make more sense to take that money and create new jobs and drive a new economy with a new ballpark? And that's what they've done. So I think people are looking around saying, okay, who's next? Who's coming up next? And they realize we're the fourth oldest ballpark in the league now. You know, hard to believe, but you look at the other teams, and if you're the Dodgers, you're not going to move. You're going to invest in an iconic, you know, location like that. Cubs aren't going to move, and that's just, you know, makes sense for them to invest $400 or $500 million. That's something we're going to have to ask ourselves at one point.
Okay, so that was a good chunk of it, and you go back and hear that now from a month ago, and he brought up the lease, the $300 million, which is the number that we've been tossing around for the better part of the last, I don't know, 4 or 5 months on this show, when you take the roof off. The fourth oldest ballpark in the league. You know, referring to the iconic brands, now that you hear that versus and when this interview took place a month ago, you read between the lines, and this has been brewing. This has been brewing. Guys in the know around town have said this has been a story for well over 2 years now. And even we were behind on it. We were behind on it. We've been talking about it for about 6 months. And, you know, it just keeps growing and snowballing. But I think for context, for those of you to hear this, this isn't something that just popped up last Thursday. I mean, come on. It's much deeper than that. Pedro Gomez is next. We're going to talk to Pedro about the downtown situation. Jerry Colangelo later on in today's show, and then Cordell Stewart as well. Sports360AZ.com. We're Arizona, Arizona, Arizona-centric. Our football show, Brad Sussmat, Football AZ, is tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. Our baseball show, Brad Sussmat, Baseball AZ, on five different Fox regions this week as well. Thanks for being with us.
For original, in-depth Arizona sports news you care about, follow us on Twitter at Sports360AZ. It's time to talk Arizona Diamondbacks and Major League Baseball with ESPN insider Pedro Gomez. Here's Brad Sussmat.
Always good to catch up with Pedro Gomez. It is that time of year with Pedro. Another year, another week before opening day, and since we're not going to visit until after the first few games have started, we play the game of how many wins will the Diamondbacks have this season. It's a fast-growing game show here on Sports 360 AZ. Pedro and I make our selections. I get ripped and ridiculed all season long. It's great. It's fun. It's fantastic. Hi, Pedro.
I believe I was closest last year.
You were. You were. I went over.
You went over, and I think I went around 77-ish, and I think they got 79, so.
I'm going to go 89 this year.
Ooh, I was going to go 89, but now I can't.
Oh, sure you can. We can just kind of, you know, you're following the leader. It's fine. I got it. go north.
I'm gonna
come
go 88,
on.
Then. I'm going to go 88.
Oh, come on.
I'll go 88.
Give me 95 or 88. You're not.
Oh, God. 95. I'm not ready for that. But I'll go 88. I'll go 88. Right. You know what? I think the division, when you look at it, there's three clubs, obviously, that are very good. And then there's two that are probably going to struggle in San Diego and Colorado. But I think, you know, when you got to play everybody 19 times, it's not like years past where the Dodgers were so superior. So I think 88-ish. It's not going to take 95 wins to win this division. I think it'll be somewhere in the low 90s to the high 80s. So, you know, 88 puts you right there in contention. So does 89.
You're not buying into some of the national narrative that this year's edition of the Diamondbacks is last year's edition of the Padres, where they sunk a lot of money and they ended up stinking out loud. You're not buying into that.
No, because I think when you look at what the Padres did a year ago, they went across the board. Whereas the D-backs just went top of the pitching. And we talked about this so much last season that it's all about starting pitching. And so, you know, when you're adding a Shelby Miller and a Zach Greinke, you're not overhauling, sorry, Brad, your roster the way San Diego did a year ago. So I'm not buying into that at all, no. I think what the D-backs did is much more prudent than what the Padres did a year ago.
Pedro Gomez with us. You need a drink? I can sit here and tap dance for a second. You're all right?
I'm good. I'm good. Right. Probably just allergies.
X Factor. Who is the X Factor? I could say it's Tomas. I could say it's Shelby Miller. From your view, who's the X Factor on this year's Diamondbacks team?
I would say it's one of those two. I also think Gene Segura could be a really big X Factor because he's somebody that has had some success in this league. And if he can really stabilize the middle of the infield with Nick Ahmed, I think that's something that will benefit, maybe not necessarily with what Segura does offensively, but more in terms of pitching-wise. You know, when a pitcher can say, I can throw a ground ball here, and I've got no worries whatsoever, because you've got Goldschmidt, you've got some gold glove caliber players, and that, to me, is what really, really could help. Because, yeah, you're adding Greinke, you're adding Shelby Miller, but you got to have guys that can catch the ball. And so I'll go with Segura. I'll go with Segura and see what he can do defensively more than offensively to really help this ball club.
And Segura, I had down as comeback player of the year, by the way. I got him on my list. I don't know if that's okay. Too easy or if that's, you know, taking a cop out here. I mean, really, they've got so many storylines on this team that are interesting. Are they going to get the return on the investment out of Greinke? Is Patrick Corbin going to push himself to the point where he's your number two and Miller's your number three? I don't know that, but I think that he could be very, very good this year. I mean, I look at the rotation. I think De La Rosa is closer to being the fifth than the fourth. He's not had a great spring, in my view. What do you make out of all their pitching?
Well, I mean, we knew a year ago that it was not ready. It was not good enough to put them in contention. And I like what they've done. I mean, I think Shelby Miller, I know that he was 3-17, but you look at the ERA under four. You know, he was just on a ball club that couldn't catch the ball and on a ball club that couldn't score. Shelby Miller, when you saw him a couple of years ago in St. Louis, you thought, this guy is ready to be one of the top 20 pitchers in the league. And I think he has that kind of stuff. So, you know, Zach Greinke has obviously proven that he can be a bona fide ace. And I think he's going to really enjoy being away from L.A., and being in a clubhouse that is baseball first. I think that's part of the reason that he's here and not in LA. He's a guy that really, really enjoys that. When he was with KC and had maybe his best seasons ever, it was a ball club that was baseball first. He went to Milwaukee, it was baseball first. So when he has tended to lose interest or not be as focused, it's because there's other issues going on around. He's a guy that really likes to be focused on the game at hand. And I think that's something that Chip Hale absolutely has going on in this clubhouse. And I think that that's something that the D-backs have. You know, when your best player is put his head down, go to work type guy, and that's Paul Goldschmidt, the rest of the club can't go any other direction. So I think that's all benefits for, those are all benefits for Zach Greinke and for the D-backs.
Talking with Pedro Gomez, ESPN Baseball Insider. Do the Diamondbacks have a case for a new ballpark from your view?
You know, this is a tough one. We've been here long enough that we know the original plan for the ballpark was about 42,000. Mm-hmm. And then they got starry-eyed when they saw what was going on up in Denver with Coors Field and all the sellouts. And they said, we got to add seats because we're going to be going much higher than 41,000 a game. And they, you know, they got blinded. I think that any ballpark should be no more than 37,000 to 41,000. Make it an it ticket. And we know there's nights at the ballpark where there's 25, 27,000 and it still looks empty.
Maybe.
Because of all the empty seats.
Right.
So they, you know, they, to a degree, they're, and it's not this administration, obviously. It wasn't Ken Kendrick and Derek Hall. It was the previous one that they got consumed with revenue and said, we're going to have too small of a ballpark. Well, in fact, no, they didn't. 41,000, 40,000 would have been ideal. And I think that's what they're looking for now. They would like a boutique-type ballpark, the kind you see in Miami, the kind you see in Kansas City. you know, they got greedy and they made it too big. And you look at those upper concourses and they go up forever, and no one sits up there. And, you know, it just, it makes the ballpark look bad. So do they need a new ballpark? No. But do they want one? Of course they do. And now is going to come the, you know, the tug of war. Does Phoenix say no? We, you know, that's your ballpark. We have a 30-year lease. Here you go. And do the Diamondbacks say, well, no, we can break the lease? And we all know how this plays out. We all know it's just a game of chicken, basically.
I felt like watching Derek last Thursday. I've never seen him in an uncomfortable position. And he was really uncomfortable, I thought, because he's not sitting there with the typical baseball media in front of him. He's sitting there with business writers and news people across from him. Not that he hasn't been in that spot before, but to me, it was interesting to see him in that spot because he's going to face more of it on this. I'm of the opinion that 101, 202 is the place to be. It's the center. It's the epicenter of the Valley, and it's going to only continue to sprawl to the East Valley. Their Monday through Thursday night attendance is not great. Part of that is because the product hasn't been good. But I think part of it is, Pedro, 20 years ago, downtown was the spot, was the center. It's changed in 20 years. That happens. And if you're going to put $300 million into something, because when you take the roof off, that's another $120 million, that's your $300 million, that doesn't make sense to me because you're just putting money into something that is going to need more fixing up. This is not Wrigley Field. This is not Fenway Park. This is not Dodger Stadium.
No, and we've seen it already in Atlanta where, you know, the Braves moved into Turner Field right after the 1996 Olympics. That's not that long ago. I mean, that's only 2 years older than Chase Field. So actually, it's 1 year older because they didn't move there until 97, until the Olympics were over. And they're already moving to a brand new ballpark in the suburbs, not staying downtown Atlanta. So this is not without looking across the landscape and saying, no, this is, you know, an anomaly. This is happening in other places like in Atlanta. So, you know, ideally, of course, I think any baseball fan, sports fan would love to see the D-backs stay. But we know how the game is played. We know that, you try to leverage yourself as much as possible so that you can get the better deal, and that's what every team does, whether it was the Cardinals back in the late 90s, whether it was the Coyotes when they moved over to Glendale, you know, it's what happens in cities across the country. It's unfortunate because at the end of the day, you know, the taxpayer is probably the one that gets hit the hardest, but it's the reality of having pro sports in your city.
Yeah, we'll see. I think the Native American side of this could be a real factor. I got to let you go off that. Our time is up. I appreciate it as always. Thanks.
All right, Brad. Take care.
Take care. This is Pedro Gomez with us, ESPN Baseball Insider. Jerry Colangelo is next, then Cordell Stewart. I'm Brad Sussmat. Welcome back. Sports360AZ.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. Plenty of content up on our website right now. We're Arizona-centric. Things on the high school, college, and pro front. And we join you every Monday through Friday. It's always good to be with you here to do our thing. And then, of course, we have content over on the website. Our baseball show is on tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. It's also on five different Fox Sports regions. Fox Sports Arizona, Fox Sports Midwest, Fox Sports Wisconsin, Fox Sports San Diego, and Fox Sports Ohio. The Brad Sussmat Baseball AZ Show. It's great to have the partnership with Fox. It's also Brad Sussmat Football Show is on tonight on Fox Sports Arizona. And then, of course, our partnership with AZ Central. We bring you day in and day out. Cordell Stewart in about 10 minutes is promised, about 15 minutes actually, is promised USA Basketball Chairman, Philadelphia Sixers Chairman of Basketball Operations, Jerry Colangelo, Valley Icon as well. How are you?
I'm fine, Brad. How are you?
Doing well. There's a bunch of stuff I wanted to run by you, and I wanted to start right off the top with Joe Garagiola Sr. passing away. And, Jerry, without Joe, does baseball happen in Arizona?
Well, I'm not sure about the answer to that question. He was certainly a very strong supporter and booster for the game in baseball circles. his son, Joe Jr., who eventually became the first GM, obviously was influenced by his dad and his thoughts and opinions. And Joe and Joe Jr., along with Jim Bruner, who at that time was a member of the County Board of Supervisors, were the ones who approached me about the effort to bring baseball here. So, you know, there were a number of people involved, and Joe had a piece of that also.
How much did he make you laugh?
Well, first of all, he was about, you know, he was a dear friend. Mm-hmm. I loved being around him. He was such a positive guy. He was a great storyteller, as you and I have both come to know, that of all the sports figures, baseball guys are the ones with the best stories. I guess they've had more time to sit around and tell stories just because of the nature of the game as compared to the other sports. And Joe had great, great content, great stories. And I have great memories of times with Yogi Berra and Joe Garagiola and Tommy Lasorda and even Joe DiMaggio going back before he passed. Being in that group and listening to what was being said, I mean, that's just something you'll never forget. There's something I'll never forget.
I remember the night you called me and you said, I want you to do these games, and you're going to travel with Joe Garagiola Sr. And I'd done stuff with Joe. And Joe and I were travel buddies for that 1 year I did the games. And there were more stories, Jerry, that I could put into a book and more life lessons in the back of taxi cabs. So this wasn't just a guy that was full of laughs and ha-has. And I'm sure you saw the serious side of him, too. And,
no question.
And there was a lot that you could take from him that you could just apply towards the struggles in life, not just the good times. He was really good during the bad times.
Oh, absolutely. And he was there to support whatever effort you had. If you were a friend of Joe's, he was a friend for life. That's just the way he worked. That's the way he operated. Very, very loyal guy. And I'll always remember not only his contributions, but his presence and how he made everyone feel better.
Let's switch over to Steph Curry. And this is, I'm not sure how far you can go given your role with the 76ers. So if you've got to beg out of this, I get it. But Steph Curry, if the hand check rule were in place today, would he be the player that he is? I mean, we're going back in the history of the game, Jerry, but if the hand check rule is still there, would he be the player that he is?
Well, that's nothing but speculation. You know, I'm not a speculator. I'm really not. Let's just talk about the reality of what's been happening so far in his career.
Mm-hmm.
He is a prolific offensive player. There is no question about that. No one will argue any aspect of his game, and he's off the charts offensively. You know, defense is played with your feet, not with your hands. And so when the rules changes took place about 15 years ago, we really tried to clean up the sport. And you and I have had discussion about how we quickened up the game.
Right.
And did away with defensive guidelines and the isolation game. And we cleaned up the middle because little guys had real trouble, you know, getting in the paint without coming out bruised and hurt. And so, you know, the timing was such that the arrival of Steve Nash was perfect timing, you know, as it related to the rules. And so I think he's a recipient. Curry is a recipient of the existing rules. He plays within them, and he's able to do an adequate job defensively. When he has represented us in international play, we've had difficulty keeping him on the floor. Quite often what happens is that he picks up a couple of fouls, hand-checking fouls, early.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's important with a guy like him to be able to keep him on the floor where he can be productive on the offensive end. So I think he's getting better, but he still has improvement, you know, that can take place defensively.
76ers played Golden State over the weekend, if I remember correctly, and you probably had a chance to see him. I'm sure you've seen him other times with your position with the Olympic program. But in terms of Golden State Are they one of the best teams in the history of the league, Jerry?
Well, they're on their journey. You know, I think we'll look back when this journey kind of takes a detour, and at that point you'll be able to make comparisons. They won a championship last year. They're having an incredible year this year. That's not enough for me to say they're one of the great teams of all time. Hmm. They're the best team out there today. But there have been a lot of great teams in the history of the NBA, but most of them had longevity, you know, in terms of being at the top for a number of consecutive years. So let's, you know, not that the jury is out, let's let this take its course and then look back at it at the appropriate time.
As a Hall of Famer, do you get where Kerr and Popovich may rest their players, even though the two are supposed to meet two more times? Would you rather see end-of-the-season games be played with full strength, given the records that may be broken?
I don't have opinions on things like that.
Okay.
I think coaches, when they're in a position, they have to make their own calls, their own judgments in terms of who plays and who rests and how they want to conduct their business. And so, you know, it's pretty hard to take issue with Popovich as it relates to his track record. And,
sure.
You know, Steve is a guy who has played for some outstanding, he's been influenced by a lot of outstanding Hall of Famers and future Hall of Famers in terms of coaching, like Phil Jackson and Popovich, et cetera. And so, you know, he's kind of setting his own journey on a personal way, in a personal way.
Yeah, I'd throw Lenny Wilkins in there, too. I mean, he's had a lot of good people.
Yes, that's another one, sure.
Grand Canyon University, how involved are you still with the 76ers, and what did you make out of Dan's season over there?
Dan Marley had an incredible year, 27-7, and our third year in Division I was a great statement. And you know, it was interesting. After being eliminated by Coastal Carolina in the tournament last week, the very next day, Dan and I had a conversation, and he was all excited about next season. I mean, that's his focus. He loves his job. He loves teaching and coaching, excited about some of the people we have committed already for next season in terms of recruits, and an incredible schedule. When you look at Duke, Illinois, Penn State, Arizona, San Diego State, I don't know if I said Louisville, think about those games for non-conference games. This is all about preparation. One more year of paying our dues before we are eligible for postseason play as far as the NCAA tournament is concerned. So we hope that we can take yet another jump in terms of preparation for our eligibility the following year.
I know you two are very, very close, obviously. His name is showing up and starting to pop up all over the place for coaching positions, and he seems to me to be, this is where he's going to be. But you're not surprised by that people are coming after him, are you?
No, of course not. But, you know, look, Dan Marley will make his own decision at the appropriate time. What's important for the people around him, Brian Mueller and the staff at GCU, myself, it's all about making him feel appreciated, comfortable, giving him the tools to truly compete. You know, we said we were committed to try and become a top 25 program. We're making progress. We are work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think for the time being, I think Dan Marley is a very happy camper.
Yeah, no, he's done a terrific job over there, and we couldn't be more happy for him. Before you go, on the business end of things, are you still working on getting the Olympic Center here, or is that something in the past in your rearview mirror?
No, I think it's past. You can only go to the well so many times, and we failed twice. Not specifically that we failed, but the people we were associated with were not able to make the deal happen, once in Glendale and once in Tempe.
Mm-hmm.
And so for the time being, we put everything on the shelf, and we're just going about our business. Right now it's more about we have Rio to contend with, and that's just in a few months. So it's all about prep work. final things that need to be done. We've already lost two players that, you know, conceivably could have been of our 12. Thank goodness we had 31 in our pool.
Right.
But losing Anthony Davis and Chris Paul, you know, is a blow, a couple of blows. But I still am very, very positive about the depth and the options that we have available on our roster.
Anything else you want to add about what's going on in the Valley from your view on the sports end of things?
Well, there's always plenty. When you have as many teams as we have professionally, you know, it's a daily, there's a daily story and ongoing sagas. And so it's an exciting place to live and follow your teams. And I'm very, very thankful we have all of that for our fans to follow.
Stay well. See you down the road. Thanks.
Take care.
Jerry Colangelo with us. Chairman of the Basketball Operations with the 76ers, getting caught up with him. Cordell Stewart on the other side. I'm Brad Sussmat. Cordell Stewart now with us. Number one new release in football biographies. The book is Truth, the Cordell Stewart autobiography. I had Lee Steinberg on, that was like 3 weeks ago, and we were talking off the air, and he said, Cordell's book's coming out. You should check it out. And I did check it out, and I said, well, I'd like to get him on the show, so appreciate that little call out. Cordell, how are you?
I'm doing good, Brad. Can't complain, bro. Just out here at the driving range right now trying to get a little R&R before I actually do my show, Tune In, which is from 4 to 7 Eastern, talk all football NFL. So I'm just kind of finding my time in my little place of zen, so to speak.
That's good.
Let's do
That's
it
good.
Are, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Are you any good on the driving range?
On the driving range, I'm about as good as Tiger Woods.
Get out of here.
In his heyday on the driving range. Yeah, exactly.
All right, so let's talk about this book. And first, I want you to clear up the nickname Slash came from Myron Cope, the Steelers' legendary announcer. True or false?
It's true. It started off me being in practice and Coach Cower basically saying, you know, we could call you, you know, a multitude of things just because of all the positions that I played. And, you know, we ended up, Myron Cope ended up getting a hold of it, and it was unleashed on the radio. And before you know it, you know, it was my alter ego, so to speak. And it ended up turning out to be something very good, great. You know, it stemmed from playing running back, quarterback, wide receiver, and putting the ball. And I think it was a big part of our success of having a chance to come there where you are in the Tempe, Arizona, and actually playing in Super Bowl 30 against the Dallas Cowboys.
Why did you not call the book Slash?
Well, what my thing was, you know, transparency is a big part of, I think, of being able to take who you are into society. Because, you know, being a professional athlete, you know, you're really sheltered from people that actually want to come around you for different reasons. But, you know, trying to keep you, you know, private and keep you protected because you're a private entity. You're getting paid millions of dollars to be the equivalent of a CEO, the equivalent of a CFO, you know, an owner in some capacity of your business. And that's playing a game of football. So when you have the term fans, which derived from the term fanatic, you know, it's one where I said, instead of calling it a nickname that I know many people would know, I want to give them the opportunity to see the transparent side of it all and listen to who the person is and understand that with what I'm talking about in my book is not necessarily just about football, which is the nickname Slash, but it's about me as a youngster and sticking to my core values and being able to deal with adversity and being able to get through it. You know, whether it be not being appreciated as a quarterback to, you know, losing a mother, you know, and that's transparency when you think about athletes and who they are and what they represent, you know, because many times people get the, you know, the misconception of how athletes are and what they think they are and how they act or whatever, but, you know, real people, you know, and I think in my book you'll get an opportunity to see that just like anyone else, but just had an opportunity and was blessed with tons of talent to play football on the highest levels.
The name of the book is Truth. Lee Steinberg wrote the foreword on it. Cordell Stewart with us for a couple of minutes on the driving range. getting ready to go kill it out on the course, I'm guessing. Did you struggle with post-NFL life?
No. You know, my life was every part of the game itself. It was a part of just everyday living. And see, that's where the transparency side comes in, mm-hmm. because you have people who work in the office spaces in many different businesses. Look at Coach Tom Coughlin and how he's had a struggle with not liking being away from the Giants and prepping for the next season, and whether it's through the draft and free agency. You know, everybody in every walks of life have those times where they got to find their niche, you know, in going into their second phase of life. The thing is with sports, you retire at the age of sometimes anywhere from 30 to 35. You know, that's an extremely young and adolescent career when it comes to the business world, per se.
Right.
You know, you normally retire at 50 to 55, maybe 60. Okay, but now you have guys who are retiring at 30 nowadays. Look at Calvin Johnson, 30 years old, retiring. Look at Patrick Willis, in his 20s, retiring. So with saying that, you know, you try to find something that's a new niche or that new whatever it is to kind of keep you in that world of, competitive spirit. And for me, it's being out here on a golf course. It's raising my son, going to his PTA meetings, to being a part of his football practices and track practices and doing homework. And, you know, that's that transparency that I'm speaking of. I think that a lot of people don't get a chance to understand when it comes to athletes and whether it's public figures or celebrities of some sort. So with saying that, that's why I call my book Truth, and that's where I come from in my book is transparency.
Concussions, what do you make out of it? Are you impacted at all post-NFL?
Well, yeah, I've had quite a few of them. You know, I have my moments where I like to say it's father time, you know, with something. Is my memory off, or, you know, do I struggle with balance? You know, sometimes I have those moments, but I think overall, when you get down to the gist of it, you know, I don't really have too many issues. It took me 4 years pretty much to do this book. I revised it quite mm-hmm. a few times. Mm-hmm. I don't think that was because of my concussion. I think that was just trying to find truly a good flow, you know, a level of fluidity where the reader can relate. They can feel it. They can understand it. You know, concussions are like, you know, tough accidents, you know, totaling cars, you know, on a consistent basis. We have those type of impacts in games, you know, throughout the entire game, week by week, you know, week after week. And so I've been fine. My body's holding up well. I do my testing and everything to make sure I'm okay. And so far, everything's been great. So I'm 43 years old. I'm healthy from what I understand. And, you know, father time is truly undefeated, but I'm trying to compete with him. He's pretty damn good, though. You know, so it's a process, man. I'm living, having a phenomenal time, and people put athletes in a certain category in a bucket, you know, as if they're not like the normal everyday person, which we're not, based on what we're capable of doing. But that's years of building up and prepping, you know. So you know, to transition into, I guess you could say, quote unquote, real life, which, you know, I thought I'd been living a dream, truthfully, and still is. I wouldn't want to change it for nothing in the world, because I've been really enjoying it and having a great time.
We're talking with Cordell Stewart. The name of the book is Truth. You're a single father, right?
Yeah, I am.
And the biggest challenge in that, Cordell, is what?
Balance. Balance in your everyday opportunities, life. You know, I'm a single dad, and raising him alone is, you know, it's I can respect single mothers. You know, I can respect mothers in general. To conceive a child and having to raise that kid, it's not easy. Now, add two or three to the fold, you know, two sets of twins, you know, or even stepkids in the middle of those biological kids that are there, too, that probably turn out to be 4 to 5 children, and the husband is on the road traveling, and she has to be at home by herself to raise those kids. You know, that's, again, in my book, transparency, okay? And you know, to have to be that father figure, like my father was for me once my mom passed away at 11, and he was the only one there on a consistent basis. You know, it's an easy transition for me to do that for my little guy who's 12 years old, playing running back, wide receiver, safety and corner, Just won a championship this year. Didn't miss a practice, didn't miss a game, making A's and B's. So his mom is very much so involved in his life. She comes, she lives in L.A., and you know, we do a great job of co-parenting him, but on a daily basis, I'm with him. So I just want to instill that level of confidence as a young boy to turn into a young man and a man as he goes on to his life and really have perspective on it. And if he can stick to what he understands about himself, I think that's when the life and the process in it, it won't be that hard. A lot of people have a lot of things to say, but the reality and the truth of it all is you just have to take care of your business and let everything else do what it does, and you can't control it. The only thing you control is you. So, yeah, being alone and raising him is great. It's great.
You got to get a golf club in his hand so he starts beating you on the course. Then you know you're old. So
no, we can't do that. We can't do that. We'll stick to basketball where I know I can box him out. You know, we'll stick to swimming where I know I'm just stronger than he is. You know, and sticking to football to where I'll always be able to grab him. And by not having any referees around, you know, flags won't be thrown. And plus the two personal fouls and ejection won't be in the play because we don't have any referees involved. That's the new rule in the National Football League. So with saying that, you know, I enjoy him, man. I won't lie to you, Brad. I really enjoy my little guy. He's a little bitty knee, but much more intelligent than I was at this age. It's a gifted class, man, and I'm not bragging, but I really enjoy my child, man. It's
no, I
really
got you.
Fun. He keeps me honest. You know, he keeps me out of my own way, so to speak. And, you know, I can't understand why more fathers, especially when it comes to not being with the wife or the girlfriend or whatever, how they can't be involved with their children's lives, man, because I'm telling you. You know, he's keeping me balanced and keeping everything that I have going on with me in perspective. But, you know, it's a part of it, you know, and I love it. Again, I love it. I love it a lot.
Two other questions. I'll let you go and you get back to hitting balls. The name of the book is Truth. We're talking with Cordell Stewart. Yesterday, I mentioned to someone who was just passing through our offices that I was going to have you on the show. And the guy is from Michigan and he just buried his head in his hands. Right. And he said, the Hail Mary, I was there. And it was one of the best of all time. And this guy's just reliving it. He's like, they gave him all day long to throw the ball. And Michael right. Westbrook, and this guy, this poor Michigan guy was like melting in front of me here in the studio. Yeah. Do you still get that to this day on that play?
All the time, man. You know, it's, you know, remember, you know, it was the Pac-10 and, I mean, the Big Ten, excuse me. And you have Michigan State, you have Ohio State, you have Wisconsin, you're Purdue, you know, and every alum of each one of those schools I mentioned and a few that I missed, they all come by and shake my hand and say, thank you, Cordell. You know, I didn't know for sure if I dropped a $20 bill in the, you know, in the corridor, you know, up the airport or whatever, leaving the airport, you know, leaving the plane to get into the airport or what. You know, like, what are you thinking before? It's like, you know, the pass against Michigan. I went to such and such university, and it was probably the most enjoyable moment of my life. But then you have the Michigan fans and students and alumni. First thing they say is, I hate you. I'm like, what did I do to you? You know, he comes back, he says, I went to Michigan and I was there. I say, you know, is the appropriate thing to say is, I'm sorry. I'm like, what else am I supposed to say? But, you know, it's all in fun. And, you know, again, you know, that was another moment in my career. And it's talked about in the book as well, where I can honestly tell you there's been a lot of great plays and a lot of fun things I've done in the game. But I think that's one play that will forever be remembered by everyone that's been affiliated, whether it be University of Colorado or even the Big Ten, because it was either the spoilers, you know, in a sense, that come back and say, aha, that was good for you. You guys thought you were tough. Then all of a sudden Appalachian State comes in a couple years and do the same similar thing, just in a different fashion, but similar. But, yeah, I get it all the time, man. And all I can say is thank you, Michigan, for only rushing three guys. You know, Tony Birdie and Rashawn Salaam, the Heisman Trophy winner of that year, did a phenomenal job of pancaking the defensive end to give me a chance to get around on the left side and throwing the ball in the air 74 yards, which was thrown from the minus 26 of when I released it, was probably officially the longest throw I've ever was capable of making and completing it as we threw it up in practice identically. I mean, it was identical, literally. That's the way we drew it up. You know, and it happened perfectly, and it's gone down in history as one of the greatest plays ever ever completed in the history of college football.
Last question. The name of the book is Truth. We're talking with Cordell Stewart. That was great stuff there. I know you can't really put this into terms in a short conversation between you and I, but what makes Steeler Nation and the Steelers so special? I could say Rooney, and that would probably be the end of the sentence, right? But I'm sure there's more to it than that, and you've had time to reflect. What makes the Steelers so special?
It's one word, passion. I mean, you just go back to the steel mill industry and think of how those families, and not just in Pittsburgh, but even along that whole entire area up to Ohio, but when it comes to Warren, Ohio, which is a RG steel industry that I think that's, you know, filed bankruptcy and another guy ended up getting it in and then end up staying around. But, you know, that city, it's like Mr. Rooney allowed them to feel like they own the Steelers. I mean, when you talk about a match of a city and a team in the makeup of it and how it was, you know, how it first started to the direction they've gone and how it still is the same old-fashioned way, you know, you have to earn it. I mean, I think that's really it. I don't think there's another city in this country, in the National Football League, where both the city and the organization match from a mentality standpoint, almost identical. I think the closest team you can think of probably is the Oakland Raiders. You think of how the community is there when it comes to, you know, the Pirate, which is the Raider on their helmet, and, you know, the tough boy mentality and the fan base with the costumes on the first row down on the 50-yard line to the end zone. And regardless of the outcome of the season or the games, they're still there all the time. Everyone wants to claim they're that way. But the Pittsburgh Steelers fans around the country, you have these little pockets of the pubs and, you know, bars or whatever, you know, in every city, whether it's Dallas, whether it's here in Atlanta, to New Orleans, to even in Cleveland, to Tennessee. I mean, we can go up to New York, go down to Miami.
Here in Phoenix. California. Here in
even
Phoenix.
Even there in Phoenix and Arizona.
Yeah.
You have pockets of areas and places where you have these little Steeler corners, so to speak, these little Steeler sports bars. And, you know, a lot of people in the city don't like it, but what you going to do? I mean, it's overtaking a lot of areas. And I think the way the Steelers organization is, I think it's how our country is. Mm. It's earned. It's blue collar. It's been built off of tons of blood, sweat, and tears. And I think that's why the organization is so identifiable, because the common everyday person can relate to how the Steelers were actually started and derived, you know, from racetracks and buying it at a very cheap price and taking great players and moving them on, but bringing in three more players and still doing it the old-fashioned way. You just playing, grind it out, hardcore, smash-mouth type football and be a tough guy, right? You know, you got a lot of hard workers in this country, and I think that's how this country has been built off of the back of, you know, a lot of forefathers and you know, people in our families that really worked their butts off to make it what it is, you know, a great country. And I think that's great football. And I think everybody around this country, I don't care if you like them or not, when you see it, you appreciate it, and you show up to the party to try to see what's going on, and you try your best to beat it, but they win more times than not. That's why they got six championships, and I was glad to be a part of it.
That's great. That's great. I'll let you go hit balls. The name of the book is Truth. Cordell, appreciate the visit.
Hey, guys, no problem. Check me out on TuneIn. You know, I have a show from 4 to 7 on TuneIn, myself and Brian Weber. I'm more than sure you know him. We talk all football, and it's a free app on your phone, and it doesn't cost you anything, and just check it out.
You got it, Cordell. Thanks for the visit.
Thank you, my guys.
It's Cordell Stewart there with us, sports360az.com. We partner with the Arizona Republic, AZ Central Sports. That's going to find its way into the football show in some segment. I'm not sure what. That was really good with Cordell Stewart. Appreciate his insight. If you missed any part of today's show, it repeats on and on and on. Of course, we'll put it up on podcast, and it's up on our website at sports360az.com. Have a good day.